Can you all go? Lord, bless the children. Yeah. That sounded like Shazam. Dun, dun, dun. Going to children's church. Man, he got so comfortable, he took his shoes off and was ready to go. Hallelujah. Attaboy. Don't trip going down the steps now on those shoelaces. Rumble, bump, and tumble. Amen. Again, thank you all for coming out. I know that it's not always easy to come to church, is it? Sometimes you just don't feel well. Sometimes you just don't feel like it. Sometimes you're just tired and you'd rather stay in bed. Oh, okay. Well, I guess that's not bad advice. If you're running a temperature, please don't come because you might inflict somebody else. I don't know, but I think I was running a temperature last week, to be honest with you. But I thank God that he's restoring my health, and we'll just trust him with the health of those that aren't here today. But this morning I forgot my PowerPoint, and so Pamela has been creative and drew one up for me. So doesn't that look good? Thank you, Pamela. This morning I want to read a little bit out of Colossians. At first I started out with one scripture, but then I started looking at the whole chapter, and then as it turned out I wanted to read the whole book. I always like to look at scripture in context. I mean, that's always the right thing to do when you preach. And so, you know, you look at the verses before and the verses after, you find out what the story is, what's going on. And man, the story in Colossians is really good. There's a lot of stuff. I would ask you, are you reading your Bibles on a daily basis? Are you, you know, continually searching God's Word just for deeper truths and just things that will encourage your faith and strengthen you? If not, let me, or even if you are, let me steer you toward the book of Colossians this week. Just go ahead and read that. There's a lot of really good stuff in there. And so Paul, writing this letter to the Colossians, chapter 3, he starts out by saying, "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God." And how powerful, just that one verse alone. If you know you've been raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. And you know, if we would spend our time doing what God has called us to do, seeking the things which are above, we wouldn't find ourselves falling to the things of this world quite so often. Seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Verse 2, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. I love thinking about heaven. I love thinking about spiritual things. What's going on in the heavenlies? What's going to happen in the future? You know, what's it going to be like when we're with Jesus each and every day, every moment? His presence is going to be so powerful that it's going to light up all of heaven. We won't be any need for any you know, lights in any of the rooms, because wherever we are, he shines so bright it'll fill the place. I like to think of the idea that, you know what, in heaven there's no, I don't believe there's any darkness in heaven, which means there isn't going to be any shadows. Can you imagine that? How vivid and how alive life would be without the darkness of shadows. Think about the things that are above, not the things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Your life is hidden in Christ with God. And again, I'm just kind of elaborating on some of these verses that I go through, because it's really not what I want to talk about, but it's good stuff. Your life is hidden in Christ. And this is something, every time I read this verse, it reminds me of what I like to tell young ladies. Ladies, make sure that your life is so hidden in Christ that any boy that comes along has to find Jesus before he finds you. All the adults, all the parents said amen, and all the children are like, amen. Verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. When Christ, who is our life, is Christ your life? Is he your life? I'll talk about that a little more later. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. We all lived in them. We all did the wrong things. We all walked, we were all sons of disobedience at one point. But not anymore. Not if our lives are hidden in Christ. Not if we set our mind on things above. Verse 8, but now you yourselves are to put off all these. Put off these things. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. I mean, just some really good, just simple stuff there. Put it away. Oh, but you don't know. So-and-so makes me so angry. Would you cut it out? Put it away. Filthy language out of your mouth. I don't have to say anything about that. You know what? God, after I got saved, well, before I got saved, I knew that the stuff that was coming out of my mouth was not good. But after I came to Jesus, I found out, oh, boy, it's important that I pay attention to what comes out of my mouth. And I'm so glad. It took years. It didn't take years to stop. After I came to Christ, I managed to control my speech and not let it come out. But it took years for the words to stop in my head. Anybody have that problem? You might not say those words, but every now and again, they go through. It's like, whoa. Oh, hey. Don't be calling out nobody. I'll call you out. Verse 10, you've put away or put on the new man who's renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all in all. And in verse 12, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, bearing one another and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. We must forgive one another. And again, it's like, Pastor, you don't know what they did. Well, you know what? In God's economy, it doesn't matter. We must forgive. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. What is the bond of perfection? The seal of perfection is love. And you know what? I'll guarantee every one of us, there's somebody in our life that God is stretching us on that one. Think about the person who drives you the craziest, makes you the most nuts. That person God put in your life in order to teach you how to love. Oh. And we're like, really, God? That one? Yeah, that one. We like to think it's easy to be a Christian, don't we? Verse 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father and through him. Father, I thank you for your word. And God, it's powerful and it's true and it pierces our hearts and it challenges us. It shows us where our flaws are, Lord God. but it also strengthens and encourages and leads us. Lord, help us to get our part right. Help us to be loving. Help us to be forgiving. Help us to be holy. But Lord, as we follow you, may we all come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ in such a way, God, that we'd be so hidden in you that you would become our lives. Bless each one today in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, before I go any farther, I almost forgot. Brother Lloyd has been chomping at the bit for months to come and to share his testimony, and I want to give him the opportunity to do that. And if you hear me go, it's because I gave him like 10 minutes, no more. So I might, but he is, one thing I like about Lloyd is just his joy and his zeal for God. And, you know, he's been missing a little bit lately, and so we've kind of kicked him around a little about that. But the truth of it is he loves the Lord, and he loves to tell people what God has done in his life. And so I want to give him an opportunity to do that. And so, brother, 10 minutes or less.
Okay.
Yes, there is.
Hello, everybody. One thing I want to say is I love Jesus, and I am a soldier of God.
Amen.
And I am grateful today to stand here and to tell you all my testimony on how Jesus found my heart. 2010, I went to prison for 3.5 years, and I prayed to God that I wouldn't get a long sentence because that was my third time in prison. And I was facing 7.5 to 15. And thank God that he only gave me 3.5 years. And I cried that night knowing that Jesus saved my life. He's wonderful. Well, to start my story, I come from a big family. I have 9 brothers and 1 sister. And a few of my brothers would physically and mentally abuse me most of my life. And I hated my childhood. My testimony mainly bases on that I never knew what love and care was. And I never heard those two words in my family ever. My mom and dad never told me they loved me or cared for me. Well, when I was 14, I found drugs and alcohol. And I think that started my downfall in my life. I never was happy growing up my whole life. When I got to prison, I always thought when I got on the other side of that fence that I would be free. And I found out I was wrong. I found out in prison that I became free because I lost my freedom. And I owe all that to Christ. Amen. And I wouldn't be standing here today if it wasn't for Christ. Christ owns my heart, and he owns my soul. He's the only one that I care about in this life and my everlasting life in heaven. He's changed my heart. He's changed my soul. And most of all, he's changed my life. I have never been so happy in my life, even though I'm in tears, but I've never been so happy in my life to know Jesus. And I am thankful to be standing here today to tell everybody that I love Jesus and I am a Jesus freak. And I will always be thankful to my loved ones, to my pastor, my brother Billy and Carol, and all my loved ones in this church. While I was in prison, I got put in a box for beating the crap out of a guy because he wanted to hurt me real bad. And one night about, I don't know, 3-something in the morning, Jesus woke me up. And he said, "Son, I have something that you have to do for me." And I asked Jesus what it was. What it was, I had to write a book of poems on the love of Jesus. And I wrote 54 poems that came from my heart, from Jesus' heart, and I want to share to the church. I gave a book to a certain person, and my sister-in-law Carol's got one. And I want to share the book to everybody in this church. I'll give it to Pastor Dale. I want to pass the poems out. And one of those are little poems about Jesus and how he can help your life. But yes, I'm glad to stand here and tell you all I love you all. I love Jesus. Thank
awesome.
You.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Wait till you get a copy of this book. You might read a couple of them and say, wow, this guy's been behind bars way too long. But you're going to read some that's going to like, wow, God has really touched this man. And it's powerful, the words that the Lord has spoke and inspired Lloyd to write. And that really, his testimony really ties into what I want to talk about this morning. The other morning, earlier in the week, the Holy Spirit woke me up early in the morning. And I can sleep usually good in the morning. I mean, it's tough to get me up. But for some reason, the Lord's been waking me up early in the morning. He put some thoughts on my heart. And so I want to share some of those today. But it kind of centers around a little bit of what one of these verses here in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. As you see there highlighted or emboldened there, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns, spiritual song. One of the things that the Lord kind of impressed on me is to try to encourage everyone who knows him. Teach what you know. Some of us, you know, we might think, I don't know anything. Well, you know what? You have a story just like Lloyd did. And he just taught us what his story was. You realize that? He taught us. How many knew what his story really was before today? Maybe that I've heard it a few times, but in every time he shares it, he gets more emotional, more in love with Jesus, and more grateful for what God has done in his life, and it's powerful. What do you know? If you don't know anything about Jesus, then listen to the people around you who do know something about Jesus. But if you do know something about Jesus, even if all you know is, you know what, I was like this yesterday, and today I'm different. I called on his name, and for some reason I feel different. I don't understand it. I don't know what's happening to me. All I know is God did something in me. Share that with somebody. And they might have 1,000 questions that you don't have the answers to, and that's all right. But give what you know. Teach what you know. Teach and admonish one another. Look at Deuteronomy chapters. Oh. Okay, back there's a verse. I'm sorry, I almost missed a verse. If you back up to the beginning of Colossians, remember, read Colossians this week if you get an opportunity. But back at the beginning in verse 9, it says, "For this cause we also, since the day that he heard of their love for him," this is Paul talking again, "since the day that he learned about the people in the church there, he said, we do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." You see, right from the beginning of Colossians, Paul's telling this Colossian church that, you know what? I want to teach you something. I want you to have understanding. I want you to have wisdom. I want you to know something. I want you to know his will. And I want you to have spiritual understanding. Is there anybody here that wants to know God's will greater and have better spiritual understanding? Yeah. Well, how does that happen, do you suppose? One place I find it, and I've said this before, the most powerful positive thing you can do for you is get on your face before God and spend time in his presence. That's one place where you get it from. God will speak to you. Do you know that? Do you have the confidence and the faith in God to understand that if you will spend time in his presence, you'll call out his name that he will talk to you? Do you believe that? I do. He woke me up the other morning. He told me a whole bunch of stuff. He told me some things. I've been reading this book about recalibrating your church. Great book. Talks about looking at everything. You know, if you stay in the same, you keep doing the same thing long enough, sooner or later that same thing becomes useless. It becomes unfruitful. People get into a routine. You know, the world around us is continually changing, isn't it? And if we refuse to change and adapt and recalibrate once in a while what it is we're doing, we will become irrelevant. I don't want to be known as the irrelevant church up on the hill. And so the Spirit woke me up the other morning and told me some things to tweak about Celebrate Recovery, told me some things to, you know, some different ways to, things to do here in church. And God talks to you like that. You know, you wake up and all of a sudden it's like, wow, there's some thoughts coming into my mind and into my heart. What is that? And pay attention to those things. And call out on God. I'm thinking, you know, I remember in the Old Testament where the young boy's on the bed and he hears God call his name. And he gets out of the bed and he runs in and he goes to the priest and he said, "What do you want?" And the priest's like, I didn't call you. Go back to bed." And he goes back to bed. He hears again God call out his name. He jumps up, goes to the priest. I heard somebody say something. And the priest says, "Just go back to bed. That's God. Next time, listen to him." God does that. He speaks to us. And he'll speak to you. Because he wants you. God also wants you to be filled with knowledge of his will. And he wants you to have spiritual understanding. He wants you to have that. But as you get it, he also wants you to teach it to others. Okay, now let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 6. All the way through the Bible, God talks about doing the same thing. He says in chapter 6, verse 4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." Does that sound familiar? That's what Jesus said was the first commandment, the greatest commandment. "And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up." That sounds like somebody who's really in tune with God. When you get up in the morning, when you put yourself down in the day, and wherever it is you go, you're consumed with the Lord. Verse 8, "You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them down on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." Verse 7 there in that portion, "You shall teach them diligently." Trust me, you know something. Don't keep it to yourself. Teach it to somebody. Especially if you have children, teach it to them. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12 says, "For by this time you ought to be teachers, but you have need that one teach you again, which are the first principles of the oracles of God." Now, if you think about that for a moment, how many of us, let me see your hand, and I'm going to call you out. Let me see your hand. Huh? He's quick. He is quick. Let me see your hand if you have forgotten most of the stuff you learned in high school. Huh. I probably shouldn't have. Cruz, you can't do that. You're just in high school. You're in high school right now. Oh, God help him. God help me too. What? Yeah, I've seen Common Core Math, and there's nothing. The only thing common about Common Core Math is that we all hate it. That is common. Oh, yeah, well, Somebody, yeah, let's not even go down that road. That'll get us in trouble. But here's the reason. We have forgotten these things. Why? Because we don't continually stay involved with those things. If we stayed involved with math and history and English, if we focused on those things day in and day out, and that's all we did with our lives, we would all remember what we learned in high school. If we took all the notes that we ever took and all the tests and reviewed and all the stuff that we learned in high school, and every day we studied it, today we would all be high school scholars, right? But it's because we don't do that. And here's the deal. It says, you have need that one teach you again, which are the first principles and oracles of God. You know why? Because we don't continually stay in it. If we would continually read our Bibles, if we continually go to Bible studies or go to church on Sunday and Wednesdays and spend time in prayer and get around other people who are talking about it and make it your life, you won't have to be taught first principles again. You'll have it down. You'll know it. One of the reasons why I've become very comfortable in sharing Christ with other people is because I live it. I breathe it. I eat it. I know it. I can't wait till the next person comes along. I look for opportunities, even with perfect strangers. When somebody puts somebody in my life, my first thought is, you know what? God put that person in my presence today because God wants me to tell them about Jesus. And so here Paul is rebuking the church and telling them, you know what, you got to be taught the first things again, and are become such that have need of milk and not able to take strong meat because you got to learn the early stuff again. Cruz comes home with algebra stuff. And when I was in high school, I was a freshman in high school, I got a 91 on my algebra exam, hallelujah. And once I passed that exam, I was done. That was it. Cruz brings algebra home, the same stuff and the only reason I got one wrong was because I got the answer right, but I got something off because I didn't show all the steps, and you know how that stuff drives me crazy. But anyway, I was an expert in algebra when I was in ninth grade, and today I haven't got a clue. You put it in front of me, it's like, yeah, okay. Oh yeah, just like riding a bike, yeah. No. But let that not be so when it comes to the Word of God. Let it not be so when it comes to the principles of God. It says you ought to be teachers, which means what? Every single one of us here at some point should get to the place in our lives where we can teach what it is God has given us. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. This has become one of my favorite portions of Scripture. Hallelujah. I'm enjoying today's message so far. I hope you are too. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. He himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effect of working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Now first take a look at verse 14 there. That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men. Now I've run into people recently, I'm always running into these people, who are following a different gospel. And I'm not going to name any names. You all know, they knock on your doors and they show up. Oh, let me tell you about the Jesus that we know. Well, let me tell you something. And I like to say, well, let me tell you about the Jesus I know. They don't want to hear about the Jesus that you know. Because the Jesus that you know is God. The Jesus that you know brings us to the place of repentance of our sins. They don't want to know him. But they fall to the trickery and the craftiness, the cunning craftiness of men. Yes, brother. What version is that? The Life Recovery Bible? That was a good version. Can I have that? Bring that. Let me have that. I want to see that. Yes. I'm going to preach from your Bible for a minute, brother. Where is it? Oh, you already got it marked out there. The Gospel according to Jose this morning. Chapter 12, verse 4. Hallelujah. You know what I love about this right here? See that highlighter right there on the side? This book is marked and underlined and scribbled in. And hallelujah. That's somebody who knows how to study his word. I'm going to get to that in a minute. But this verse, I love the way this said it. Then we will no longer be like children, forever changing our minds. Anybody know a child that keeps changing their minds? Deer in the headlights back there, yeah. About what we believe because someone has told us something different or because someone has cleverly lied to us and made the lies sound like truth. If you study this thing, nobody's going to be able to steer you astray. If you learn what it says and you go over it and you go over it, when somebody comes along with a lie that sounds like the truth, you'll know, hey, that's a lie. Do you know, thank you, brother. Do you know why? Do you know why so many fall for false doctrines? Because there's a half-truth in there. A little bit of truth in there. Ooh, yeah, you know, that's right. That sounds really good. I can believe that. But because there's a half-truth, this is a phrase I say often, a half-truth is a whole lie. If it's only got a little bit of truth and the rest of it is false, the whole thing is a lie. And the only way you'll catch it is if you do what it says in 2 Timothy chapter 15, study to show yourself approved to God, a workman that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's your job. My job is, as a pastor, is to encourage you to do your job. That's what my job is. Yeah, I need to teach you. Yeah, I need to evangelize you. I need to sometimes act like an apostle over you. Sometimes I have to prophesy over you. Yes, I'm to pastor you. But your job is to study. Your job is to learn what it says and how to apply it for you. Because then you back up to what Paul said. You ought to teach it now. We should be so into the truths of God that we're ready instant and in season and out of season that when somebody comes along, you know what? Let me tell you what the Bible says. Let me tell you what Jesus says. Let me tell you about his love for you. Let me tell you about his forgiveness for you. Let me tell you about his strength for you. I come into contact with all kinds of people. Sick people, well people, strong people, weak people, people that with mental issues, people that are far smarter than I am. I come into contact with all kinds of people and I tell them all the same thing. You got to turn to Jesus, man. Need a healing? Let's go talk to Jesus. You need a financial blessing? Let's go talk to Jesus. You need work? Let's go talk to Jesus. You need forgiveness for something you've done? Let's go talk to Jesus. You need freedom from these bars? Let's go talk to Jesus. Hallelujah. We're rejoicing in the house this morning. Jesus is glad. He's rejoicing. Study to show yourself approved. Ephesians 4:14, we already covered that, but it talked about not being like children anymore. Would you grow up? How many of us as children loved going to school? Oh, a couple. There's a couple. God bless you, because most of us hated every second of it. Which might be why so many of us struggle actually forcing ourselves to learn something. You know, think about that for a moment. We were forced to go to school. Who would have went to school if you weren't forced to go? Oh, we got a couple. God bless you. I know I wouldn't have. Where? Oh, you're still going to school even though you don't have to. Well, praise the Lord. You're right. Once somebody gets out of college and they keep going on, that tells me, okay, there's somebody who likes school. Either that, or they've got a goal in life and they recognize their need for that schooling in order to attain that goal. You know, and so this is somebody who's driven to learn. Most of us, to be honest with you, by default, are not driven to learn. But when it comes to the will of God, the knowledge of God and spiritual things, we need to make a point of forcing ourselves to get in there and learn it. Someday we're going to have to answer. We're going to have the answer to the test when it comes in the end, right? And so, these questions that I'm about to show you, these are what the Lord put on my heart the other morning when I couldn't sleep. And I'm like, wow, God, that's a good question. I'm going to write that down. I better start writing, so, because I forget stuff. How many of you forget stuff? Oh, yeah. In fact, I just remembered something that I was going to write down, I didn't write down, that I really wanted to remember as I'm preaching this message. How many know that you'll get a little bit of gold? You can find a little bit of gold on the surface of the earth. Do you know that? Here or there, you might find a little bit. But if you really want the good stuff, you got to dig for it. Who would like to have the good gold? Yeah. Well, we got to get out our pickaxes and our shovels, and we need to start digging in the Word of God, because there's a lot of gold in there. That Word of God will change you. It'll completely take everything that you thought you were and turn it into what God wants you to be. It's powerful. There's stuff in there for life. There's stuff in there that tells you about the afterlife. There's stuff in there that tells you about the past. There's you read that Bible, and most times you'll come across stuff. And there's some other verses I should have wrote down, but I didn't. You'll come across stuff that speaks directly to you. It'll be like, when was this written? Because that's me. That's how it is. How many times have you ever gone into a service, a church service somewhere, and you thought somebody tipped off the pastor, told me I was coming, right? No, that's how God works. Because what's going on in your life is going on in a lot of people's lives. And we all go through the same channels of sin. We all go through the same channels of coming to Christ. We all go through the same channels of grace and mercy and love, hopefully, so that we all go through the same channel when Jesus shows up, that we end up in eternity with Him. So these questions He put on my heart the other day. What do you know about God and His will? Think about that for a moment before you read the rest of them. Think about that. What do you know about God and His will? Do you know anything? Do you know something? You must know something, because you showed up here today. Either that, or you heard we had a pasta lunch and you planned on getting some spaghetti. One or the other. I don't know. Maybe a little both, but I'd be okay with that. If your whole intent today was to get a pasta lunch, I'm glad you came. I wouldn't be disappointed. Next question, what should you know? Think about that for a moment. We're sitting in, we're talking about life and death and resurrection and eternity. What should I know? Do I know everything I should know? Most of us probably don't. How many ever went to a job for the first time that you really weren't sure what even the job was? All you know is you signed on the line, I'll show up, and you get there, it's like, boy, what do I need to know? I better figure something out quicker. I'm not going to have this job very long. It's good to know things. But what should I know? And if that's a question, if you don't know what you should know, that's a question. God, ask God. God, what should I know? Because I know you love me. I know you died for me. Well, I hope you know that. If you don't know that, that's some of the stuff you should know. That he was born of a virgin, that he lived a sinless life, and that he took our sins upon himself and was crucified on the cross for those sins. But then he rose from the dead. If you don't know those things, you should know them. They're all written down in here. Ask somebody, hey, could you teach me? So what do I know already, but what yet should I still know? I've been serving the Lord for 30 years, and I'm asking myself this question. God, what should I know? Because I don't see myself as just a pastor of this church, but I see where God's using me here, and he's putting me in connections over there. It's like on Monday, I'm going to go to the high school in Waterloo. I'm going to talk to the principal about the kids and drugs. I'm stepping out in faith here. I'm like, who am I? But she agreed to meet with me, and I got some questions to ask. And I'm going to go have a little chat with her, and I'm going to give her some ideas that I have, and we're going to see where it goes. On Tuesday, I'm going to meet with a coalition of people about that are dealing with the drug epidemic in our cities. And I walk in that place, and I'm like the freshman in the class. I've only been there a couple times. I say, God, what do I need to know? Because the truth of it is, if we don't do something about this, it's only going to get worse. Children are dying. Children are getting caught up in things. And that's why I want to go to the high school, because that's where it starts. Well, actually, it starts in the middle school, but I haven't got that avenue yet. But let's do something in the high school, and let's see if we can influence the middle school. Because the truth of it is, by the time they go into ninth grade, the kids that want to have sex are having sex. The kids that want to do drugs are doing drugs, and the kids that want to drink are drinking. Yes, dear. I started drinking when I was in eighth grade. Seventh grade over there. I've shared my testimony. I was introduced to sexual things when I was about 3 or 4 years old. Yeah, it starts early. And so there's a problem. And guess what? This is what I want to mention to the high school principal. Be praying for me tomorrow. So I'm going to sit down with her, and I'm going to say, look, do you understand that in every classroom in this school, probably right now, there's somebody doing drugs? Right now. And do you know that in that classroom, there's somebody else in that class that perhaps maybe isn't doing drugs but knows that kid is? Why aren't we doing something about that? And I'm not saying, you know, we gotta get them in trouble and we got to start incarcerating all that. No, I don't want to get them in trouble. I want to intervene. What can we do to empower the kids to win their classes? Because the vast majority of them are not on drugs or on alcohol or doing other things. I mean, the truth of it is. But there's enough of them that it's a real concern. And let the kids do it. I wish when I was in high school that I had a group of kids that would drag me over in the corner and say, hey, I know what's going on in your life. And if you keep doing this, it's going to mess you up. Why don't you come with us? Nobody did that. Instead, I just kept hanging around with the kids that, hey, we're going to have a party this weekend, huh? I'm in. One of the things that opened my eyes is, you know, Cruz said to me one day, he said, you know, Uncle Dale, I've been approached 4 times with drugs in ninth grade. And I've been invited to several parties where they're going to be drinking. I praise God that Cruz is man enough to walk up to me and say, hey, this is what's going on. Thank you. Because he, you're getting emotional here. He's seen the effects of it, and he don't want it. Praise God. But somebody's got to do something. He's got a lot of uncles. It'll screw you down that road. Lloyd's coming over to your house. But what do I need to know? There's stuff I don't know that I need to know. God, what do I need to know? Right? Let's move on because I know lunch is ready and I'm going a little long. What has God inspired you to know? Think about that for a moment. What has God inspired you to know? Do you know that this Bible was written by men who were inspired by God to write it? God put in their hearts, here's the words, write them down, preach it from the rooftops. I want the generations to know. And he inspired them to know it, and they wrote it down. What's he inspiring you to know? Man, it got quiet. Think about that. God speaks to you. He speaks to me. I'm so glad that he inspired Lloyd to write down some poems and put them in a book. I'm pretty sure that somebody's going to turn some of them into songs, and they're going to be really good ones. They're very anointed. And God inspired somebody to sing those songs. God has inspired you to know some things. Are you walking in that? Are you living it? Are you searching it? Are you studying it? Are you doing something about the inspiration that God has put in your heart? And then also, what is your spiritual expertise? The Bible says we read in... Oh, that got a couple looks. My spiritual... It wasn't just you, sister. My spiritual expertise? Yeah, your spiritual expertise. The Bible says there's apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. I've said this before. It doesn't say there's pew fillers. Chair warmers. There should be no sponges in it. I mean, yeah, sponges, if you're a used sponge in that you soak it up and then you get wrung out and then you soak it up again and then you wring it out. But if you always soak it up and soak it up, soak it up, sooner or later you're just all wet and not very useful and pretty messy, right? How many soaks up a sponge just to leave it all nasty and wet? No, you soak up a sponge to use it. And guess what? God wants to fill you up with his love, and then he wants to use you. He wants to wring you out, and sometimes that's what it feels like, doesn't it? Oh, God. And then he wants to fill you up again and use you again. What is your spiritual expertise? The truth of it is that God has inspired all of us with his love. He's inspired all of us with his word. He's inspired all of us with his deeds, all of us with his will. And he wants us to use it and become experts in the kingdom of God. Do you know that? A warrior in the kingdom of God is somebody who puts on the armor, takes the sword, goes out there and fights the battle. What is your spiritual expertise? And again, that might go along with the question, a few questions before that. God, what do I need to know? Because you want me to be somebody. Everybody say that. Say this with me. God wants me to be somebody. Special. Okay, add special to that. God wants you to be somebody special. But I can't, Pastor. Yes, you can. You will go and you will be as special as you choose to be. Do you know that? I will guarantee you that if every single one of us would stand up and call on God's name and get filled with his word and get filled with his spirit, that he would take every single one of us and turn us into a Billy Graham or a whoever, Catherine Kuhlman or who, all of us would be laying hands on the sick and they'd be healed. All of us would be preaching to the lost and they'd get saved. All of us would be worshiping him and teaching others how to do the same. Every single one of us. Could you imagine a church that is so on fire for God and so willing and ready to be used because you know something, you've been inspired with something, and you're an expert at going out and winning souls? Could you imagine if every single one of us were that guy or that girl, the difference we would have on our city? All the demons would be gone. Hallelujah. Let's drive them out. Don't think, I can't, because you can. It's your choice. What have I got left here? Are you teaching others what you've already learned? One of the best ways to know something is to take what you've learned and teach it to other people. You know, do you realize that? When you know something well enough to teach it to somebody else, you know it. And so think about what you know, however much or however little. Teach that to somebody. If all you know is a spiritual nursery rhyme, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me. If that's all you know, teach that to somebody. If you know the deeper, last week, Chris got up here and he taught us what he knew about grapevines and how we're grafted in and how there's this particular thing that needs to be killed and the roots and all that and the weeping of the, and he taught us what he knew. How many believe God inspired Chris to teach us that last week? I do. That's what I'm talking about. Thank you, brother, for that, by the way. It was really good. We're all on the edge of our seat like, wow, that's really cool. Well, God can do that with you too. And guess what? It's not, and I'm not saying, well, everybody's got to be able to preach a sermon. Everybody's got to be able to get on the stage and get in front of everybody. You know what? If you got children in your midst, teach them. If you got friends that come over, teach them. Whoever God puts in your presence, take what you know, teach them. And if you're afraid to teach what I know, well, maybe what you know is a little off. That's why it's good for us to talk to one another. You go up to somebody, hey, you know what? This is what I think I know. How's this sound to you? And share it with them. And if it's a little off, hopefully the other person will be like, you know, that might be a little, let's tweak that a little bit. But always use this as your standard. Always use the Bible as your guide. You want to know if what you know is right? It'll line up with this if it's right. If it's not right, it won't line up with this. And it's like, okay, I got to learn something else. When I first started preaching, I had that same mentality as a lot of people do. You know, you think you know what's in the Bible until you actually go and try to find it in the Bible. And you find like, wow, the Bible doesn't say that at all. What do you know about God and his will? What should you know? What has God inspired you to know? What's your spiritual expertise? And are you teaching somebody else what you've learned? That's what the Spirit spoke to my heart the other morning as he woke me up. What's he speaking to your heart in the morning when you wake up? I'm sure he's speaking. Are you listening? Amen. Stand with me. Lunch is about ready. And again, I hope that you all stay with us. I hope that today you've been inspired to teach something. Yes, brother. Wow. Jen? Okay. Amen. I thank God my mom went through the hospital again last week, and she's home and doing well now. Just a lot of stuff going on, a lot of things going on. But I hope that today you're encouraged a little. I hope you're inspired a little. And I hope you're challenged a little. But I hope you've determined in your heart, you know what? I think I need to go a little deeper. I think I need to be more intentional about my walk with God. I think I want my life to be about Him and nothing else. If we would get to that place, we surely will make a difference. In high school, in our world, in our homes, in our church. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your word, and I thank You, God, that You have challenged us to know You more, to seek Your face, to search Your word, to know what Your will is, to have spiritual understanding, become experts in the knowledge of You. I pray, Father, that You would bless each and every one of us. Open up our minds to Your truths. Open up our hearts to do Your will. And God, I pray for every apostle and prophet and evangelist and pastor and teacher that are standing here in this room with me. I pray for them, God, that You will anoint them, that You will empower them, and that You will give them the courage to stand up and be used by You. Help us to teach what it is we know so that we can learn even more. You said that if we would be faithful in the little things, You'd give us more. And I believe that principle applies even to the knowledge that we have. If we would teach what we know, You would give us more. So, Father, bless each one here this morning. If any have yet to call on Your name as Lord and Savior, I pray that today would be the day that they would choose to follow You for the rest of their life. And that with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, if there's anyone here this morning that you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, to forgive you of your sins, and you'd like to do that today and start following Him, let me see your hand real quick if that's you. I don't know everybody in the room, and so if that's you, just let me see your hand and we're going to pray with you. Otherwise, I'm going to trust that everyone here knows Jesus. And if you're too afraid to raise your hand, if that is you and you're afraid to raise your hand, do not leave this place without asking somebody to explain God's love for you. Somebody will. But Father, I pray that every single one of us today would take another step deeper into Your knowledge, deeper, Lord, into Your truth. Bless each one. We lift up this gen to You. Lord, that You remove pain. Father, that You would heal this body. Just take care of this physical illness. Give her a miraculous healing, we ask, Lord God. Restore her to life and health. Bless her today and her family. Lord, let us not have overwhelming concern, but rather overwhelming faith in what it is You're going to do in her life today. And God, I also pray that You'll bless this mealtime and the fellowship that is about to take place. Lord, that we would just enjoy each other's presence. And God, that we, as we get to know each other a little more, that Your love would shine through in all our relationships. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you all. Thank you for coming. Hallelujah. I'm trusting that the food is ready.